Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of BCT with your host Olivia. In this podcast, I will interview lots of different people in my church and we'll hear all their different testimonies and stories they have to tell us. Don't forget to follow, subscribe and like so you never miss an episode. Today I am joined by Liz. Hi Liz.
Hi Olivia.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, I'm glad. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and what you like to do on a daily basis.
Okay, so I'm Liz. I'm from Southeast London, and I moved to Wales nearly 5 years ago now, which has gone really fast. I live in Bryn, great place to live.
Yeah.
And I'm a teacher, and I'm now a retired teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm married to Craig. And I have 3 stepchildren and 9 step-grandchildren, most of whom live here, which is why we live here. Mm. I still teach, but only as a part-time tutor these days. I love being part of BCC. And as a freer person these days, I have more time on my hands. So I enjoy working in the church. I love knitting. I've learned to crochet recently.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah. And I have a lovely little dog who I like hanging out with as well.
Who's very cute.
He's very cute.
Cool. So let's go straight into then. I'd love to hear when you accepted Jesus into your life.
Okay. Well, I first went to church when I was 5 years old. My friend Kathy took my sister and I to church, to Sunday school. And in those days, it was in the afternoons in the local, it was called the Assembly Rooms where I grew up. So it's like a community centre, I guess, here. Mm-hmm. So I went to Sunday school and then I went on to what was called Rectory Recruits, which was like the comp group, I guess, at BCC.
Okay.
And during that time, my dad left. My dad left and moved out of the family home and moved in with somebody else. So it was quite a difficult period in my life. As you can imagine, I was only 13. And back in those days, over 40 years ago now, I didn't know anybody else who had divorced parents. So it was a tricky time. And I was about to get confirmed because I grew up as an Anglican, and in the Anglican church, in your sort of teenage years, lots of kids get confirmed, and that means you can take communion. So you have confirmation classes, which I went to, and then you get confirmed by the bishop. And I got confirmed by the bishop of Croydon, whose son was a musician, actually, interestingly enough. Anyway, I wasn't that keen on being confirmed after my dad had gone. I wasn't too up for it, but I did get confirmed. And then I was able, after that, at 14, to join the youth group. It's a fantastic youth group, and I'm so pleased that I was part of such an amazing time, teaching and friendship, fantastic. And I was about 14, and I heard probably for the first time more about the salvation of Jesus and not just the Bible stories. So in Sunday school, I learned a lot of Bible stories, like you do, but not really ever really heard the gospel. And it wasn't till the youth group that was actually quite forward thinking of his time that I found out that, you know, I was saved. I could be saved. So I remember being in my friend's kitchen and praying a prayer with one of the youth leaders. And that was that, really. And then I was part of the youth group for the next X years. And then I went off to be a teacher. At 18, I went off to Polytechnic, as it was in those days, which is now actually the University of Greenwich. But when I went, it was 10th Polytechnic. I left home at 19 after doing 1 year at college. And then my mum got remarried, which was not a very good thing for me because she married a man that I really didn't like.
Oh, gosh.
He was horrible. I can't tell a lie. He was just not a nice guy. He wasn't very nice to my mom. He was a very difficult man to like. And he went to church with my mom, part of the church, very much liked by the church. But people don't always see real people, do they? So my mum and Harvey, he was called, got married when I was 21. And I lost my mum. I totally lost my mum. She just became a different person. And the awful thing was when I was 22 and I finally qualified as a teacher, she wrote me a letter basically, and it wasn't very nice. So during those few years of her dating and marrying, I stopped going to church. It was just too much. I couldn't do anymore. I felt like an orphan. So I just started seeing my dad again when I was 20 after 7 years of not seeing him. And then my mum hitches up with Harvey. So I felt literally like an orphan. I felt like I had nobody who really cared as a parent. I had wonderful friends, don't get me wrong, but I really felt very orphaned, and it was quite a low part of my life when it came to my family. Hardly went home, couldn't bear going home, so I didn't. I then left college as a teacher, and my best friend and I decided that we would have a look for a church.
Cool.
I can't remember why all that happened, to be honest. It's a long time ago now, but we did. And we got involved with a church called Ichthus, which is a huge church in London that have little house churches, like small churches. And then they meet on a big evening on a Sunday night. And Graham Kendrick was part of Ichthus, right? So we would go off to this Sunday night meetings. But one morning in the little church group, I was about 23 by this point, nearly 23, I heard from God. And we were singing the song, "Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care," which was a beautiful chorus that we don't sing anymore, sadly. And God said to me, "I'm your dad." And I heard his voice absolutely 100% clearly, "I'm your dad, Liz. Don't worry." And it changed my life all over again in a big, big way. And I think that was probably the real conversion for me, the real proper true relationship with God as my father at that point. And life changed drastically after that. I was a much happier person. I got baptized. Cool. Graham Kendrick played at my baptism. Get that? And it was a whole start of my new faith again.
Amazing.
And then I met Craig, and we got married a year or so later, 2 years later, year and a half, can't remember exact dates at all. And and you know, life was very different. Life had became very different for me. So that's basically the story of my faith. I have had a few wilderness periods between then and now. Long time ago now, but God's always called me back. And I really believe that the early teaching from my youth days was so important. And that's why I just think youth work in church is so vital, because when I was at college and I'd stopped going to church, my moral compass was still absolutely entrenched in Christianity. You know, there was no way I would go and do anything irresponsible, because I knew it was wrong. And God never left me in that, and then refound me. So parents of children whose kids may be going off the rails a little bit, hold on, because for me that was the time. And then I carried on being a teacher and got my first job and carried on from there.
Cool. So since you were a teacher, how do yourself and other Christians still try and serve God in their secular workplace? And do you feel that you can make that difference with your faith in any environment?
Okay, so when I was 18, I was at a camp. We used to go to camps called Chadacre, and they were run by a group called the Good News Crusade, who was based in Cornwall. And these were wonderful times, these camps, when I was in my sort of 16, 17, 18th year of life. They were just fabulous, wonderful times. And when I was at the camp when I was 17, 18, I heard God say to me, "Be a teacher." And I did become a teacher. I ended up going to college and trained for 4 years as a primary school teacher, and worked in Southeast London. So my first job was in Lewisham in a school called Lee Manor. And I had a class, and those days they were called year. I had class one, and it was first year junior, which is now year three. Mixed with year four. And it was a little junior school in Lewisham, a little Victorian school, and that's where I began my career. But I did believe that I had been called to teach. I did believe that I had been called not just to go and make money for somebody, but to make a difference. And that might sound a bit cheesy, but that's what I felt I should be doing. Cool. So off I went to work in this school, and I carried on teaching in school for 29 years. After that, in various schools in London and in Kent, with a little bit of time out in Africa. And for me, making a difference to children's lives every day is something I can hold my head up and say I did that. And I did it because I felt it was the right job to do. And I have worked with hundreds of children from all over the world with all kinds of needs. And also, I've worked with hundreds of members of staff and hundreds of parents. And I really feel that, particularly when I became a deputy head, eventually when I was about 36, I became a deputy head teacher in a school in Lewisham, a place called Catford, quite a tough little area, very interesting mixed school full of children from all over the place. I worked there for 10 years, and I was a special needs coordinator, inclusion manager. So I got very much into that aspect and looked after children and such like. And I trained TAs and teaching assistants. That was a big part of my role. And I really felt that when I was in that place, that I really did serve God. Mm. I had to deal with lots of broken families. Mm. You know, we're talking families who were ended up homeless, families who had children taken away, you know, all kinds of situations, staff going through difficult times. And I felt that I was able to really do that well because I felt I should be there. Mm. And the really lovely thing about that job was one of the TAs who I got to know quite well was Christian, and they'd had a Christian prayer group going with some of the parents and staff at the school praying for a deputy head to come who was a Christian, and I came. Mm. And so that was wonderful. So that was part of my job. I've obviously done lots of jobs apart from that, that one role. But for me, going in every single day, knowing I was doing what God wanted me to do and support children, educate children, because without education, you know, what are kids going to do with themselves in the future? Yeah. and supporting parents, particularly who are going through difficult times, was very much what I felt was the right thing to do. In my last job, I worked in a school in Tonbridge in my final job in Kent, and it was a very tough little stay. And I got into the habit of praying over tables for children because it was a very tough little school, very needy. And, you know, praying for certain children, particularly on a daily basis, because they had such difficult lives. So I believe that I really could serve God in a secular situation by praying for the children, by going in and walking the walk really as a Christian, you know, trying to be loving and caring as well as, you know, tough when you have to be. But I do believe that through my whole career, and I still believe it now because I do still teach, that I serve God during what I did. And I think that we have to remember that we can't all go and be missionaries.
Yeah.
We can't all work in church. We can't all do those things. But God puts us in all situations, in all kind of places to serve him. And I do believe that's what I did, and I believe that's what lots of us do every single day. And there's a great verse here that I will share with you that I think pretty much encompasses that. And it says this. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. And I think for me, that's what it was. Even though I had a head teacher and I worked for local authorities, et cetera, over the years, I worked for an academy group at one point who were really tough to work for. I wasn't working for them. I was working for God. And we have to remember that whatever job that we do, we go out and we work for God. He puts us in places. He puts us in situations. We're living in a tough world, as we heard today in the sermon this morning. Yeah. Teachers are particularly putting themselves in tough situations.
Oh,
as you're not allowed to talk about Christianity in some schools. I made it my mission in my last school to teach the Bible in assembly. I was allowed to do that, fortunately.
Cool.
I know there's people who go out, my husband goes out and works in schools with the Bible. And we need to pray for everything that goes on in schools, because it's tough being a kid. It's tough being a teenager. It's tough behaviourally in schools. Parents aren't easy. And I think that even we need to pray for all professions. My heart is in education, and we must remember to pray for teachers, because it's a minefield out there. It's a battleground, and it's not getting any easier. And I look back to when I started teaching nearly 34 years ago now.
Wow.
It's a different game, and it's tougher and harder, and keeping people in the profession and wanting to be teachers, it's hard. So I really, really would impress on us to pray for all people who work, but particularly right now, teachers out there who are dealing with lots of tough deals every day.
Yeah, so all of your years of, I guess, practice and experience, how have you, I guess, added that into your life these days and add in your experience to now helping you work for the church?
Okay, so I was very blessed to move from England to Wales and being able to change my lifestyle quite radically, fortunately. And I've been able to take early retirement and still work. So I tutor. I've been able to tutor privately as well as for supply agencies. So at the present moment, I teach in the evenings, which gives me lots of time in the day.
Yeah.
And I'm in the last year and a half, I've been working with Hannah, your mum, on the admin team, and I've been able to use my love of paperwork, as I say, to do stuff for the church. So I was able to put all the policies back in place that needed to be updated. And basically just help with all the admin work, because I like a bit of paperwork and I quite miss a challenge. So even though these days I don't really miss being in school anymore, to be honest, I still love teaching children and working with parents, but I don't really miss the cut and thrust of school. I did quite miss being challenged cognitively. So it's been great in the last 18 months or so, being able to work with Hannah and being able to put in practice, use my skill set here.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't all have to be preachers. We don't all have to be teachers. Churches need all kinds of people to do all kinds of jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And churches don't run themselves. So it's been lovely being able to use my skills of polity writing and organising and bossiness.
Yeah.
for all those reasons here. And Tuesday mornings generally is when I put my head around admin stuff at the church and during the week, which is wonderful. And I'm really enjoying doing it. And it's nice being able to use the skills that I've applied from being a deputy head for many years into the church. I also am quite happy to advise parents, which I do quite a lot of as well. I think parents sometimes need someone to talk to who's not in their school about their children. And I like to think I've been able to be helpful with that as well here.
Yeah, no, it's important. Like you said, like every church like is different, but we need support around, you know, like, and you're so passionate about what you do that I think my dad's just landed that you've taken something off him.
Well, as I said, I'm very blessed to be able to do that right now. And I'm, you know, I'm not too old, so I have got some energy left.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to do that. And as I said, you know, we need to be challenged. We need to keep our brains awake. And doing stuff here is enabling me to do that as well. So it's a win-win for all of us. But as I said, it's, we can all serve in a church. We don't have to put off that we don't know the Bible back to front.
No.
And we don't know how to evangelise, you know. We can learn all that, but we can use all our different skill sets in a church setup.
We all have different gifts, isn't there?
And we certainly do. We certainly do. And we need to pray about that, but also be proactive in that and not just wait for a bolt of lightning telling us to go and do something. We need to actually go and
do it. Definitely. Yeah. No, I agree. Right. Any final words before we finish? Any advice you want to give anyone who's listening?
I just think, as I said, when it comes to serving in the church, use your skill set. I think if you're looking for work or you're concerned about your job situation, you need to pray, you need to talk to people about it, but you need to be proactive in getting at them, finding it. And I remember my last church, when our second pastor came, he had two jobs. He'd offered two jobs in two different churches. And I remember at the time I was looking for a new teaching post for various reasons and not quite sure. And he said to me, I felt, this is him saying this, I felt that God could use me in either one. So either job, God would use me because God's called me to be a pastor. And I took that on board, really, that as a teacher, wherever God put me, God's used me. And I think we just have to remember that, that God puts us in places to use us, and we need to be open to that. And as I said in that verse, you know, we're doing it for God. We're not doing it for ourselves or for other humans. It's all about what God does. So if things are difficult, we've got to remember that we're working for God.
Amazing. Well said. Right. Thank you so much for coming on, Liz.
My pleasure.
thank you guys for listening to another episode of BCT. Let us know what you thought of this episode and what topics and questions you want me to ask further guests in the future. Don't forget to like, subscribe and follow us on all the social media platforms. Bye for now.
Bye. Hi, Olivia.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, I'm glad.